There is no more beautiful word in the English language than Savior, unless, of course, it's the word Jesus, which means Savior. The angel told Joseph and Mary, you will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Thank you, Brother Adam, and choir and orchestra for your ministry here this day and every Lord's Day. You help us to love our Savior more by what you do to lead in worship and the praise of our great God. Every year at the beginning of the school year, going back to 1980, I have stood in the pulpit of this church to give the State of the Church sermon. Across the years, it has given me opportunity to say thank you to you for your faithfulness to Jesus, and also to lay out some challenges as we think about the future, and some years more focus on one than the other, and some years more of a balance. But nevertheless, with the beginning of the new academic year, I've chosen once again to speak to the Lakeview Church family and to share with you what I believe to be the state and the health of Lakeview Baptist Church. Now, I want to say at the outset that just because the church is large does not mean it's healthy. We are a large church. There are very few churches in the country that are as large as this, though some are exponentially larger in attendance. But this is not a small church. This is a large church. But if we're healthy, it's not because we're large. The church can be large and be unhealthy. A church can be small and be healthy. It's not a matter of size, it's a matter of health. And ordering the life of the people of God in a way that brings glory to Jesus. 25, 30 years ago, one of the larger churches in the United States was the Crystal Cathedral. It had the largest television ministry of any church in the English-speaking world. Pastor Robert Schuller was heard by multiple millions of people around the world. Today, Crystal Cathedral is no more. It's gone. The campus that served that magnificent glass structure, and I've been there on a Sunday to worship with him many years ago, now belongs to the Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church of Orange County, California. Well, we shouldn't have been surprised, because 30 years ago, the state of California sued the Crystal Cathedral for not paying their taxes. Now, historically in America, churches are not required to pay taxes. But in this case, the state of California said you owe taxes for the concerts that you hosted. You charged for that. You didn't collect taxes. These were not sacred concerts, these were secular concerts. They hosted the Fifth Dimension. They hosted Victor Borg. Now, it's a sad day when the government has to say to a church, what you're doing is not what you're supposed to be doing. We need to get our directions from the Word of God. Amen. Now, it's a dangerous thing when the government interferes with the life of the church, but far more dangerous than that is for the church to just wander away from the clear teaching of Holy Scripture as to its reason for being and for its purpose as a church. So today I want to remind us what we're about and call us back to the basics once again. Not that I haven't done this a multitude of times in all the years I've been your pastor. So I want you to just kind of come in close and listen really, really well today, because this is eternal. This is important. Often I'm asked by friends, former members of Lakeview who've graduated and moved away, and I encounter them somewhere along the way, this question: Brother Al, what's new at Lakeview these days? And invariably, this is what I tell them: Nothing. Really nothing. We're doing the same things today we were doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And by God's grace, we'll continue to do these things until Jesus comes back and calls his bride home. Nothing. It's not that every church is just an ecclesiastical organization. You just decide what you want to do. No, we have our marching orders clearly spelled out for us in the pages of the New Testament. And so to wander away from what the Scripture says is to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. So today, as we come for me to give the State of the Church address, I want to begin by asking you to say with me the statement of purpose that was adopted by Church Action in February 1983. For over a year, a select committee of key lay people, along with the pastor, studied the Scriptures over many meetings and asked ourselves this question: what is our purpose? Why has God placed Lakeview Baptist Church in this university community? And under the wise leadership of Larry Swango, we hammered out this one simple declarative statement, which is on the screen. I want you to read it with me. Even if you're not a member, would you just read it with me? We believe that God's purpose for Lakeview Baptist Church is to love the Lord God and to express that love by making, nurturing, and equipping disciples of Jesus Christ in Auburn and throughout the world. Just one simple, clear, declarative sentence. It's our lodestar into everything we do. And we shouldn't be doing anything that doesn't somehow, either directly or indirectly, agree with this statement of purpose. Now, what we have in this statement of purpose is a declaration that sought to marry both the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is found in Matthew 22. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28. So let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find Matthew 22 first, and then we'll go to Matthew 28. The Great Commandment is found in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Here we read that some religious leaders, some Sadducees and Pharisees, came to Jesus with a question. And this is the question they asked him. Look in chapter 22 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That's a good question to ask. And Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't equivocate. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. We have it on the authority of Jesus himself that the greatest commandment in all of the Scripture is to love God. And none other than Martin Luther, the great reformer, once said, love God and do as you please. Because if you love God, you will do the things that honor and please him. So that's the great commandment given to us by Jesus. Now turn to chapter 28, Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. This is the great commission. These are the departing words that the Lord Jesus himself spoke before his ascension back to heaven. Matthew 28, verse 18 and following. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So what we have in the Lakeview Statement of Purpose is our belief and our conviction that we are to love God. That's first and foremost. And we demonstrate our love for God by the making and nurturing and equipping disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Auburn and around the world. This is our lodestar. This is foundational to all we are. This is fundamental. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is the head of His church. Jesus is the head of Lakeview Baptist Church. Now, sometimes we say, Lakeview is my church, or Lakeview is our church, and I think that's certainly proper if you understand how you say it, but it's really not our church, it's His church. He's the head of the body. We are members of the body. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what's new at Lakeview? Nothing. Just doing what we've been doing for decades. So as we think this morning about the state of the church, this year I want you to think with me in the context of this statement of purpose. I want to ask four questions of this statement of purpose and give scriptural answers to these questions. I want to ask who, what, how, and where. I want to ask who are we, and then what are we here for, and then how do we fulfill God's purpose for us, and then finally, where do we fulfill God's purpose for us? But first, who are we? Well, we are Lakeview Baptist Church. That ought to go without saying, but that's who we are. Now, as a church, as a Baptist church, we have much in common with Orthodox Christians across the ages and across the world today. We believe that the Bible is the very Word of God, inspired of the Holy Spirit. It is a factual and trustworthy account of all that's recorded therein. Therefore, we believe it is authoritative. With Orthodox Christians around the world, we believe that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. We are not a cult. We are Trinitarian. We are not Unitarian. We believe in the full deity and the full humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is as much God as if He were not man, and man as if He were not God. He is the God-man born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect, sinless life, who died an atoning death, and who arose on the third day. All true Christians embrace these doctrines. We believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. That there is no other name given among men by which we can be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the one and only Savior from sin. Therefore, we are gospel-driven. We are about the business of calling sinners to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. These beliefs we hold in common with all true Christians, whatever their denominational affiliation. But we are not just an Orthodox evangelical church, we are also a Baptist church. And so we have Baptist distinctives. As Baptists, we believe that baptism is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ to be administered only to those who have repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, unlike our paedo-Baptist friends whom we love and appreciate, we kindly differ with them because we believe that baptism is only for believers. We would not baptize a baby, or we would never knowingly baptize an unbeliever, regardless of that person's age. Because we are Baptists, we are congregationally governed. The congregation has the final authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are not connected in any kind of legal or formal sense with any other Baptist church. There are denominations that are connectional, and there are outside forces, bishops and district superintendents who move their pastors around from church to church. But every church, every Baptist church, just like Lakeview Baptist Church, is congregationally governed under the lordship of Christ and therefore is autonomous in its church government. Because we are Baptists, we are a free church. We believe in a free church and a free state. Baptists were the first to embrace religious liberty for all people. And we would embrace the right of a person who, with whom we vehemently disagree about their doctrine, whatever it might be, Christian or otherwise, some other world religion, to practice their religion freely. We do not believe we need the coercive power of the state to persuade people to repent and believe and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to anyone and everyone who will believe. We're Baptists. Now, I know some of you have come into our fellowship from non-Baptist backgrounds, and you had to take the dip, didn't you? You had to take the plunge in the waters to be a member here. I salute you for that. You aren't a new believer. Some of you have been saved a long time, but now you've been baptized. You're a Baptist, at least for this stage of the journey, and we welcome you in Jesus' name. That's who we are. We are Orthodox, but we're also Baptistic. Second question. What are we here for? We believe that God's purpose for Lakeview Baptist Church is to love God. We're here to love God because when Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." This is ultimate. This is of first importance. This is top priority. Why? Because Jesus said so. I want you to see it once again. Look back in Matthew 22. I want you to focus your eyes on the words of Jesus. Verse 37, Jesus said, in answer to the question, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. To love God is to worship Him. Nothing is more important than the worship of our triune God. The fact is, everybody worships something or someone. We worship that which we love the most. For some, it might be a hobby. For someone else, it might be another person. For someone else, it might be sports. For someone else, it might be his job. For someone else, it might be money. But we are incurably religious. And all of us have a bent to worship something. And Jesus said the focus of our worship should be upon God, the triune God. Now, when we gather in this room on Sunday morning and again on Sunday night, this is one way in which we express our love for God. We express our love for God by singing His praise. And I don't know of a better singing church than this one. We express our love by hearing the Word of God proclaimed to us. And quite frankly, I've never preached anywhere with a more eager responsiveness from those in the pew than here. I don't preach away very much, but when I go to other places, they don't listen as well as you do because you have an appetite for the Word of God. You want to hear what God has to say through the preacher from the Word of God. So we express our worship by singing God's praise. We express our worship by giving careful hearing to the proclamation of the Word of God. We express our worship by the giving of our tithes and offerings. And we are a generous church. And God has blessed us in this last year with greater gifts to our church than ever before in its history. We are a worshiping church by the confessing of our sins. We express our love for God through the worship at the Lord's table. We express our love for God by seeking His face when we come to Him in prayer and by the fellowship that takes place in this room before and after worship and in the Sunday school classrooms where we know one another and are known by one another and relationships develop. All of this is a part of the Sunday corporate worship experience of Lakeview Baptist Church. However, worship is far greater than what takes place on the Lord's day. True worship, authentic worship, results in a transformed lifestyle which manifests itself in how we spend our time, our hours and days, Monday through Saturday. True worship manifests itself in our relationships, in the family, in the neighborhood, on the job, True worship manifests itself in the way we go about our vocations. In true worship, we love God, but it must be expressed. And our statement of purpose spells out for us how we express this worship for God. We're not just Sunday Christians. We're 7 day a week Christians. We don't live one day of the week distinctly different from the other 6 days of the week. We carry our love for God with us into our homes, into our neighborhoods, and into our workplaces, and to the athletic fields. We are salt and light. We are holy people of God. So how do we express this love for God? That brings me to the third question, the how question. How do we fulfill God's purpose for us as a church? How do we do it? Well, the answer is by making, nurturing, and equipping disciples of Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. We demonstrate to the Lord God during the week what we profess in this room on Sunday. We do that by making disciples of Jesus, nurturing disciples of Jesus, and equipping disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call your attention again to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, look in verses 18, 19, and 20 once again. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Three key words here: making disciples, nurturing disciples, and equipping disciples. Let's look at them in sequence. First of all, our statement of purpose says we express our love for God by making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of evangelism. Jesus spoke to this very issue in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Find Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The last thing Jesus said, the very last thing Jesus spoke to his followers before he ascended back to heaven, is found in Acts 1:8. There Jesus said to them and to all subsequent followers through the generations and centuries to come, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And if you read the book of Acts, you see that those early believers took very, very seriously this mandate from Jesus. Making disciples is about proclaiming the gospel of God's saving grace, not just to hear ourselves talk, but with the aim of conversion. Now, Paul put it this way: knowing the terror of the Lord, we seek to persuade men. We have a passion and a desire to see sinners converted and enter into the experience of a love relationship with our Savior Jesus. So we share the gospel, calling for verdict, calling for them to repent and believe and be saved. We proclaim that God is holy and God must judge sin, that we are sinful and therefore we are candidates for the wrath of God. But Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross. Jesus paid a sin debt that you and I could never pay. He bore the holy and just wrath of God against our sins, that if we would repent and believe, we could be reconciled to God. This is what evangelism is all about. It's proclaiming the gospel. Now, it's about sinners being saved, but it's also about Jesus receiving the reward of his passion and the praise of his creation. Evangelism exists because worship doesn't exist. We'll spend all eternity worshiping our great God. But once we have slipped this earth into eternity, we won't do any evangelism there because there won't be any need to evangelize there. So we exist, we evangelize because worship does not exist. There are many people, multitudes of people who do not give praise and honor to God because they do not know Him. You cannot worship a God you do not know, and you can only know Him through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But be reminded of this. Satan resists at this point more than anywhere else. Because evangelism, the proclamation of the gospel calling sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a frontal assault on the kingdom of darkness. Now, I'm not opposed to potluck dinners. Have one and invite me and I'll come. But Satan's not intimidated or threatened by our potluck dinners. And I'm happy we have a Lakeview Church League softball team. But Satan's not, he's not threatened by our softball games. But Satan is threatened when we share the gospel. Of course, you can share the gospel to a potluck dinner, and you should, and you can share the gospel to a church league softball game, and you should. Whatever we do, whatever we're about, we ought to be sharing the gospel. We are ambassadors for Christ, is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, be reconciled to God. We are calling those who are alienated from God, separated from God, to be reconciled to God. That's why whenever we preach in this pulpit, whether it's your pastor or one of our other or pastors on staff, we always issue a gospel invitation and call sinners to repent and believe. Always. We're about making disciples. This is the focal point of the Spirit, if you please, as we seek to penetrate the darkness around us. But not just making disciples, but nurturing them. This is growth in Christ's likeness. We want them to grow into maturity, into spiritual maturity. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Here the apostle concludes his second letter with his admonition. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's not enough just to be born of the Spirit, but we want to come to maturity. We don't want to stay spiritual infants. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We want to be more and more like Jesus. We want to grow up. We want to be healthy. We want to be mature followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be conformed, as Paul told the Romans in Romans 8:29. We want to be conformed to the likeness of the Son of God. So we want to nurture those converts who come to faith in Christ. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said, therefore go and make disciples. And then He said, teaching them to obey. Not just teaching them facts and knowledge, that's part of it. But it's beyond factual information that we teach. We're teaching them to obey. The way we grow in Christ's likeness is when we receive the Word of God, we obey the Word of God, and the Spirit of God gives us more and more light. We act on the light we have. We grow in the grace of Jesus. We get more and more light as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and works it in our lives. So we are nurturing disciples. We're not content for someone to stay a spiritual babe. And then equipping disciples. We are about making, nurturing, and equipping disciples. Equipping has to do with reproduction. One believer putting in the life of a younger Christian, a less mature Christian, the things that God has taught him to bring him to maturity. That's spelled out several places in Scripture, but I just want to point out 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. There the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now I want to unpack that for you, but before I do that, I want to remind you I want to remind you that God has given equipping leaders, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and teachers, not to do the work of ministry, but to equip God's people to do the work of ministry. But nevertheless, all of us are to be involved in equipping. Now, notice there are four spiritual generations that Paul mentions here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. There's first Paul, there's Timothy, and Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, and says, the things that you learn from me, Timothy, I want you to pass on. I want you to entrust to faithful men. That's the third generation, who in turn will be able to teach others also. So you have four spiritual generations here. Paul, generation one. Timothy, generation two. Faithful men, reliable men, generation three. And others, generation four. So all of us have this mandate to equip others in the life of Christ, to go beyond just Christ's likeness in your character, but to have ministry skills. How do you pray? How do you understand the Bible? How do you share your faith? How do you practice the spiritual disciplines? How do you teach? How do you sing? How do you serve? How do you administer? Now, for every one of us, it's going to look different because each one of us has been uniquely gifted in different ways by the Holy Spirit of God. But every one of us has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve Christ in His church in some capacity. A non-serving church member is an oxymoron. If you don't have a place of service, well, you're in disobedience, and let us help you find that place of service, whatever it may be. Now, having said all that, it is your pastors, I'm using that word plural now, 10 of us, it is our primary job not to do ministry for you, but to help you find where God would have you to serve in the church. Paul said to the church in Ephesus that he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, not to do the work of the ministry, but to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. And I want to report today that in all the years I've been your pastor, I've never been more pleased with the brothers and sisters with whom I serve on our staff, both at equipping level and at support level. We have men and women who serve on this church staff who love God and love God's word and who love this church and serve faithfully and diligently. And it is my great privilege to lead them. Now, tonight we're going to do something we've only done once in the history of this church. And that is, I have asked our equipping staff ministers to take 3 minutes each and to tell you about their ministry and what they see going forward. So that'll be tonight. I look forward to that. We've only done that, as I said, once before, some years ago. Also, we're going to do something tonight we've never done. We're going to make history tonight. We're going to have an all-staff choir in the choir loft. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus. All the pastors, all the ministry directors, all the secretaries, all the music people that are on the payroll, all the maintenance people. And if we do good, that's debatable. We have rehearsed. Last Monday morning at staff meeting, we rehearsed. But if we do good, we're going to cut an album and get a bus, and we're going to tour Monday through Saturday. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. You be here tonight. We're going to have a good time. I want you to see the people that I serve with. I want you to know them. You see their names on the Sunday bulletin, but some of you don't know who they are. I want you to put names and faces. Let's know who these people are. You need to know us, and you need to pray for us. So I've asked four questions: how, what, and what was this last question here? How? Well, forget it. I don't remember what the first one was, but you write it down. You can look it up later. 30 years ago, it would have bothered me to mess up like that. Nothing bothers me anymore. I'm telling you, I'm free in Jesus. It's a great place to be. I'm just sorry it took me so long to get this free. Last question. Where? Where do we fulfill God's purpose for us? And the answer, according to our Lakeview purpose statement, is in Auburn and throughout the world. We believe that God's purpose for Lakeview Baptist Church is to love the Lord God and to express that purpose by making, nurturing, and equipping disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Auburn, Alabama. But it doesn't. It's not limited to the city limits or the county line, but throughout the world. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again. Again, Jesus speaking here before he ascends back to heaven. And Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's hometown for first century believers, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it begins at home, and home for us is Auburn. I thank God there are a number of churches in our community that preach the same gospel that we preach. Some are like us and they baptize believers only. Some do not baptize believers only, but baptize infants. But nevertheless, they preach the gospel. Some of my dearest friends are pastor friends in other denominations who believe the Bible, believe the gospel. There are many sound churches here, but I need to tell you, there are some churches in our city that are not sound. And you need to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove when it comes to that. Having said that, with thanksgiving to God for the growing number of gospel-preaching churches in our city, there is yet much gospel work to be done. In the providence of God, we're in a very strategic place. Now, Auburn is not a large place, but in many ways, Auburn is far more strategic than some major city with a million or more people, because we're in a university community where 25,000 plus students are enrolled. They come here for 4 years or 5 years. They graduate, they move on across the country and around the world. We have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to them, to call them to repentance and faith, to nurture them in the ways of God, to build them up and to send them out from this community. But not just Auburn University students. We're in the shadow of Auburn High School now. I think I read in the paper some time ago, 1,700 students in Auburn High School. And there are other schools in our community, and some of our Lakeview folk are in other schools. Opelika, Beauregard, Lee Scott, homeschool and beyond. I just want to remind all of us that we're just very, very near a very strategic place of gospel opportunity. And there are thousands of people. Hear me on this. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people right now who are sitting at home. They're not here. They're not in any church, whether it's conservative or liberal. They're not in any so-called house of worship. They are home or on the golf course or on the lake. This is our primary gospel target. So we're to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in Auburn. But not limited to Auburn, but throughout the world. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's a long way, the ends of the earth. That's as far as you can go when you go to the end. He didn't say near the end. He said to the ends of the earth. Now, go with me one more time to Matthew 28, verse 19. One more time, and then we're about done. Back to the Great Commission. We said the great commandment is love God, and the Great Commission is to make disciples among all the nations. I want you to see that in verse 19. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations. That phrase translated all the nations in the Greek New Testament is the pantata ethne, which literally means all the people groups. Now, if you've been at Lakeview any length of time, you know this, but there's some folks who haven't been here long, so I want to make sure you get this. Typically, when we use the word nation, we think of political states, Germany, Japan, Brazil, India, France. And that's one way to use the word, but the way the word is used here and throughout the New Testament is not for political states, because none of the political states that were in existence in the first century world in which these events took place, in which Jesus spoke, are still in existence today. It's the ethnic groups, the people who are characterized by the same language and customs and social mores that make them distinctly who they are. And according to the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, there are just over 11,000 nations throughout the earth. Of these 11,000 nations, just under 3,000 of them, they're small, but nevertheless, they're nations, they're ethno-linguistic groups. Just under 3,000 of them have no gospel witness, no missionary, no pastor, no Sunday school class, no Bible, no tract, nothing. And Jesus said, make disciples of all the pantata ethne, all the nations. Now, until that day comes, we have a mandate from our commander in chief. That's why we always, always keep the nations before us. Because we take this mandate seriously. That's why we have multiple mission trips. That's why we reach out to internationals who come to our community with such focus and diligence. That's why we have approximately 90 Lakeview people who are serving internationally, even as we gather today. That's why in recent years, 30% plus of all of our gifts have come in, have gone for missions. That's why we send out dozens of summer missionaries. Furthermore, that's why I'm thankful to be your pastor. Because you have a growing, growing heart for the nations. So this is why we exist. This is our purpose. It's God's purpose. Mine from the very pages of Scripture. The great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the great commission, go. Go to all the nations and call them to repentance and faith. Where you are, to the ends of the earth. Nothing new. Nothing creative about that. Probably won't get us written up in some religious publication somewhere. But it is what God has called His church to be and to do. That's who we are. Now, for some people, they want something else. They have options. Everybody's not going to buy into this, but many will, because many have. And we've had the favor of God for a long, long time. We don't ever want to take that for granted. So, to those of you who are longtime members, I have just reminded you of truths that you already knew. But we need to be reminded periodically. For those of you who are new to Lakeview, you've learned some things today that you learned in Discover Lakeview class, but maybe some different focus on some of that. And for many of you who are non-Lakeview members, you've been exposed today to who we are. Every church is different. This is the DNA of Lakeview Baptist Church. And by God's grace, we're just going to keep on doing this till Jesus comes, and we hope he comes soon. But he may tarry for hundreds of years. We're going to be found faithful to do what God's called us to do. I might say in conclusion, there is a Discover Lakeview class today in the Fellowship Hall. It is a required class. If you want to join Lakeview, you go to the Discover Lakeview class, and Brother Cliff and I will be teaching this afternoon. Lunch provided. You don't have to make reservations, though many have, but just make your way to the Fellowship Hall, to my left, your right, and learn more about who we are, what we believe, and how we live together under covenant. Finally, I think I just said in conclusion, but I got another one. The greatest privilege of my life is to be married to Kim. My three children, their spouses, to be their father and father-in-law, and my awesome 9 grandchildren. But beyond that, the greatest privilege of my life is to be your pastor. I count it a great privilege. I'm more encouraged about this church and our future than I've ever been, and look forward to leading us into the future if Jesus tarries. Next Sunday, I want to speak to you about this subject, making Sundays special. And next Sunday night, I'm going to get a journey through the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. It's next Sunday night. It's going to take us a while to go through the Apocalypse. I encourage you to read through it. And then 2 weeks from today, I want to begin to preach a series of 5 messages on the great solace of the Protestant Reformation. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. In October of this year, we will celebrate, as the church worldwide, the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing the 95 Theses to the door of the Cathedral Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And the world's not been the same. These will just be simple Bible messages, expository sermons under those themes. That's what's coming. In our missions week, then in mid-October. I didn't want to do this, but I'm impressed, deeply impressed by the Holy Spirit to revisit some of the great moral issues of our day and some new ones that I've not dealt with. We want to talk about the refugee crisis and what does the Bible say. We want to talk about the LGBT agenda and what does the Bible say. We want to talk about amusement and what does the Bible say. We want to talk about gambling, assisted suicide. That's coming. Pray for me. It's a good time. It's a good time to serve Jesus at Lakeview Baptist Church in this community. Let me pray for us. God, our Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters that I have the privilege to open the Scriptures to Sunday by Sunday. I do not take this privilege lightly, and I thank you for their growing faith in you and their growing love for you. And I pray, Spirit of God, that we might continue to seek the Lord and love the Lord and serve the Lord by worshiping him, by making, nurturing, and equipping disciples here in our community and to the very ends of the earth. And may it all be for the glory of your great name. In Jesus' name. Amen.